what Western spirituality says is paradoxical. Rather than avoiding these hardships, it asks you to embrace them. It taught the counterintuitive response that willing acceptance of these burdens was the only way to a good, full life, the only way to inner peace. Bending your head in obedience, it will be raised up strong, brave, indomitable, and wise. Now let me go through the list of penalties from this perspective. About labor, the religious voice says that work is the only avenue to genuine self-respect. Work develops independence, self-reliance, resourcefulness. Work itself is a value, above a paycheck, above praise, above accomplishment. Work produces a spiritual reward unknown to the reinforcement schedules of behavioral psychologists like B.F. Skinner. But if you tackle it gladly, without resentment or avoidance, whether you're digging a ditch or building a skyscraper, you'll find the key to yourself in work. If the secular aversion to work is a thing to be rationalized as schools do, requiring only the minimal effort from children, a horrifying problem is created for our entire society, one that has thus far proven incurable. I refer to the psychological, social, and spiritual anxieties that arise when people have no useful work to do. Phony work, no matter how well paid or praised, causes such great emotional distortions that the major effects of our civilization will soon go into solving them, with no hint of any answer in sight. In the economy we have allowed to evolve, the real political dilemma everywhere is keeping people occupied. Jobs have to be invented by government agencies and corporations. Both employ millions and millions of people for which they have no real use. It's an inside secret among top echelon management that should you need to cause a rise in stock value, this can be engineered by eliminating thousands of useless jobs. That is done regularly and, I would presume, cynically. Young men and women, during their brightest, most energetic years, are kept from working or from being a part of the general society. This is done to keep them from aggravating this delicate work situation, either by working too eagerly, as kids are prone to do, or by inventing their own work, which could cause shocks throughout the economy. This violation of the injunction to work, which Western spirituality imposed, has backed us into a corner from which no authority has any idea how to extricate us. We cannot afford to let too many children really learn to work, as Amish children do, for fear they will discover its great secret. Work isn't a curse, but a salvation. About the second penalty, pain. Western spirituality has regarded pain as a friend because it forces attention off things of this world and puts it squarely back on the center of the universe, yourself. Pain and distress, in all forms, are ways we learn self-control, among other valuable lessons. But the siren call of sensuality lures us to court physical satisfactions and to despise pain as a spoiler of pleasure. Western spirituality teaches that pain is a road to self-knowledge, self-knowledge a road to trusting yourself. Without trust, you can't like yourself. Without liking yourself, how can you feel capable of giving love? About the third penalty, good and evil, Western spirituality demands you write your own script through the world. In a spiritual being, everything is morally charged. Nothing neutral. Choosing is a daily burden, but one which makes literally everything a big deal. I heard second-hand recently about a woman who said to her mother about an affair she was conducting openly, despite the protest of her husband and in full knowledge of her 6-year-old daughter, "It's no big deal." That's what she said to her mother. But if infidelity, divorce, and the shattering of innocence in a child isn't a big deal, then what could ever be? By intensifying our moral sense, we constantly feel the exhilaration of being alive in a universe where everything is a big deal. to have much of a life, you must bring as many choices as you can out of pre-programmed mode and under the conscious command of your will. The bigger the life you seek, the less anything can be made automatic, as if you were only a piece of the machinery. And because every choice has a moral dimension, it will incline toward one or other pole of that classic dichotomy, good and evil. Despite extenuating circumstances, and they are legion, the accumulating record of our choices marks us as worthy or unworthy people. Even if nobody else is aware how accounts stand, deep inside yourself, the running balance will vitally affect your ability to trust, to love, to gain peace and wisdom from relationships and community. And finally, aging and death. In the Western spiritual tradition, which grew out of a belief in original sin, the focus was primarily on the lesson that nothing in this world is more than illusion. This is only a stage on some longer journey we do not fully understand. To fall in love with your physical beauty or your wealth, your health or your power to experience good feelings is to kid yourself, because they will be taken away. A 94-year-old aunt of mine with a PhD from the University of Chicago